Leave them. You need to bring a Bible now, or get your cell phone out and follow me. Get your Bibles, and you people online, I know a lot of folks are listening tonight. I'd like you right now, if you haven't shared the service, share it right now. Everybody in America needs to hear what I'm preaching tonight, and you need to hear it. And I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1. Last week I started a series out of this book, and it's a wonderful book. 12 chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes, 222 verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, 5,584 words in this wonderful book of Ecclesiastes. And I will say this, if you read through this, you ought to go home and read through this tonight, or if you haven't read through, you ought to read through it. Now, there's a lot of things that Solomon's going to be saying in this stuff that we don't agree with, we don't believe. You say, well, why'd God inspire him then? Well, I'll tell you why God inspired him, because most of us in this world is living where Solomon was living at the end of his life. Come on now. Trying to make it without God. Trying to make decisions without God. Trying to operate without God. That's where Solomon found himself. Now, for you that, I'm going to give you just a little bit of review in a moment, but let's look at these 11 verses. I preached thoroughly through the first three verses, so I won't cover a lot of that, but I will give you the bone outline of that, and then we'll go to verse number 4, and that's where we'll start tonight. Listen to these words, the words of the preacher. Remember last week I told you what the preacher means. He means a congregator, a gatherer. We get the word ecclesia, or a called out group, or a gathering. That's a church for the church. That's a word for the church. We are a called out assembly of born again baptized believers. And the word ecclesia, of course, translates into Ecclesiastes. So the son of David. Now we're getting an idea who the writer is. King in Jerusalem. I firmly believe the writer of this book is Solomon. Now think about this a minute. The wisest man on the planet. The wisest man ever born outside of Christ. When he wrote the Proverbs, how many reads Proverbs every once in a while? Can you, let me ask the class this. Can you believe that the same guy that wrote this wrote the Proverbs? Come on now, can you believe it? It's hard to believe, isn't it? Also, he wrote the Song of Solomon. In Proverbs, he's talking about the master teacher. In the Song of Solomon, he was a royal lover. But in this chapter, he says everything's vain. Look what he says. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit have a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Now, our theme for this message is under the sun, living life under the sun. By the way, if you're ever going to live a real good life, you need to get above the sun. You need to get where God is, and God needs to rule in your life. But here's the problem. Let's just be honest with you. Most of us live our life under the sun. And not just unsaved people, saved people. And we'll get into that more in a moment. Let's look at some of the verses we'll cover tonight. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh. But the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full. Glory. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Let's go on board. Oh boy. The thing that had been is that which shall be. And the thing which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. By the way, there's a lot of people looking for a new thing. And I'll discuss that in a moment. But there ain't nothing new under the sun. Help me preach. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It's been already of old time, which was before us. There's no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Man, I want to tell you something. Here's what I'm preaching tonight. Let me give you last week's title, first of all. Last week I covered this thought. Is life worth living? I want you to know something. Life isn't really worth living if all you live it for is what you have tangibly. Ain't worth living. Can I ask you something? How many of you in this room, without you raising your hand or me pointing you out, have given yourself to stuff and that stuff has never satisfied you? If you've had a problem in your life, you've never been satisfied with what happens. Somebody help me preach. How many people y'all know tonight? How many know somebody? How many know somebody that they have went through so many cycles in their life, but they are not satisfied? Help me preach. Now let me give you, just review the first three verses and I'll go to our outline tonight. I'm just trying to teach and preach, and I'm going to preach some good stuff tonight. You hear me? But first of all, I talked about the preacher at large. That's Solomon. Remember, his name means gathering or congregating. He was congregating, and he talked about the first exposure. He gave himself to wisdom. He was wise, but it didn't satisfy him. He gave himself to wealth. He was richer than anyone, but it never satisfied him. He gave himself to women, 700 wives, 300 concubines, 700 mother-in-laws. Lord God Almighty. His distressed emotion. Here's what he'd done his whole life. He chased after something. Always chasing after something. Never satisfied, Michael. Never satisfied. Always chasing after. I know people that are saved, born again, but they're not satisfied with Christ. All they do is chase after something. Chase after money. Chase after this. Chase after that. And they're never satisfied. I'll tell you, if you get satisfied, it's when you find Christ. And he's real to your life. Dear God. Y'all stay with me. I'm still introducing from last week, but it's pretty good. The proclamation at length, when he looked at his whole life, how would you like to live your life? And when it ended, and you got down to the end, and you're an old man, and you say, everything I ever done was vanity. I want you to know something. You look at this big old man. Look at me. I'm not going to tell you, Brother Jeff, that I haven't screwed up a time or two in my life. I sure have. But I got to be honest with you. Predominantly, overall, I just wouldn't go back and change a thing in my life. I'm as happy as I've had good sense. Listen to me. I was at a preacher's fellowship this week. A bunch of preachers were there. I had a great fellowship with them. And I was all excited. Here, an old man, 69 years old. I'm just as excited as I was when I was 27 years old. I'm happy. I'm full. Everything's wonderful. You say why? Because I'm trying to live my life above the sun. And I want to be remembered for a guy that had joy, had fulfillment, and not some sourpuss. Amen. Good preaching, Reverend. I'm going somewhere. Y'all just stay with me. Then verse 3, the pointlessness of life. Look what he said. What profit have a man of all his labor? Now look at that word labor. You know what that word labor means? Toiling to the place of exhaustion, but never being satisfied. I know people that work their stupid head off, but they never enjoy anything. Am I preaching? I mean, they work themselves to death. I mean, they're workaholics. They're this and they're that, but they are not satisfied. Come on now. And look what he said. Not only his passionate rigor, but his poor return. He said, what profit is it? He said, I'm looking back at my life. And really, what have I done that mattered to anything? And I want to look every one of you in the face, and you people online, I want to ask you, and I want to tell you, they ain't nothing really good except those things that are done for Christ, because they are actually the only things going to last. And then his pitiful realm, and here's where we are, under the sun. Amen. Under the sun. Citizens, here's what a lot of us are. Citizens of heaven with the mindset of this world. And when he gets to the end of this chapter, you know what he says when he gets to the end of this book? He said, let me give you a conclusion to all this stuff. You need to fear God, which is the whole duty of man. See, here's what happens to us. We live our life in this realm, this under the sun realm. No fear of God. How many of you, without raising your hand, would say, Preacher Smith, I've made some bonehead decisions. Let me tell you what your decisions were based on. The here and now. Your decisions were based on earth, on can I fix this problem? Can I get this taken, can I repair this leak and repair that leak? And we constantly are doing that instead of giving our life to God, who can give us joy. Amen. And let me say this. I'm trying to get to the message. Nothing in this world, you hear this, nothing in this world is meaningful unless God is in the middle. What good is it? You say, well, man, I'm living to retire. I heard something the other day. I probably convinced his name. I can't remember it, it ain't worth me worrying about who it was. I know the guy. He put up every dime he could to get to retirement. He put every, and I ain't again that. I'm trying to do some similar stuff. He put everything he could in the future. He died in his late 60s. And his family's still fighting for what he had. And he never enjoyed any of it. But he wasted so many years where he could enjoy God and enjoy the fruit of his labor instead of wasting himself and constantly thinking, I'm going to prepare for way down there. You don't know if you're going to live past tomorrow. And after 1 week of the Biden administration, I'm thinking we're about ready to get out of here. My God, 1 week and I feel exhausted. I mean, he's changing the gender lines and, man, he's a heathen. He's an idiot, actually. And that socialist vice president, him, by the way, he ain't going to last till the water gets hot and we're going to have her, God help us. You say, you really are depressing me. Solomon's enough. But I want you to know something. It don't matter what Joe Biden does. It don't matter what Nancy Pelosi and Schumer does in the Senate or the House of Representatives. They're not in control of John Smith. There's one above the sun. There's one that ruleth this universe. There's one that's in control of everything. It's got me in his hand. Thank you. I'm trying to get somewhere. Here's what I'm going to preach on tonight. First three verses, is life worth living for? Verses 4 through 11, here's what Solomon's saying. Nothing really ever changes. And let's look at it. Look at verse number 4. Just get your Bible. If you're taking notes, you can. I'll give you the outline. First of all, I notice a definite regularity. Here's what he says. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Now what he's saying is there's a short existence. Somebody help me preach. People live, people die. People live, people die. Did he? Constant cycle. People gonna live, people gonna die. And I want y'all to know something. What really brings joy is not just that when I was born or when I died, what did I do with my life in between the two? Amen. What's good preaching? Can I ask you a question? And I guess I've been here before. But why are the people of God holding so tightly to the things of this world and so lightly to the things of God? Why is it that we hang so tightly to the things of, man, I got a big house and most likely a big payment. Man, I got new cars. Is that really satisfying you? Man, I got this and man, I got that. Are you really happy? Are you really fulfilled? Is everything you got, really all that stuff, has it done a lot for you? Good preaching. See, I want to tell you what. Maybe it's because I know this, Jeff. I'll be 70 July the 9th. Not old as you, Sue. I'll be 70 July 9th. And when you get 70, they say you're rounding third base. I'm getting ready to round third base. I know that. Are y'all hearing me? I know that I'm rounding third base. But I want y'all to know something. I'm telling you something. The closer I get to there, the more lightly I hold this world and more tightly I hold to the other world. Oh, I want y'all to know something. If he raptured me out right now, I'd be a happy camper. Praise God, I'd be a happy camper. You say, what if you died tonight? I'd be a happy camper. You said, wait a minute, man. Death scares me. Don't scare me. I'm going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. If the earthly tabernacle of this body dissolve, I have a building of God not made with hands eternal into heaven. Let me go on. I won't get through the sermon if I keep plowing all this. So he told us there was a short existence. Then he knows the sustained earth. Notice he said, but the earth abideth forever. Now, I'm just going to give you this. This is not really part of my sermon. But since you're here, I'll give you a little Bible prophecy and preaching. Somebody asked me, when he makes a new heaven and a new earth, really what's that mean? If you read over Peter, actually the foundations of this earth, if you read the psalmist, they're never passing away. Now, I'll tell you what God's going to do. When he rains fire and brimstone at the end of the millennial, he'll burn everything up that's sinful. And the foundations will still be here. And this earth will sustain itself. And, hey, it's still here. By the way, God created it. And I know you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you're about half hopeless. So you came from a tadpole, did you? You act like it? Then listen to this. Look at verse 5, 6, and 7. Y'all got your Bibles? I see systematic elements. Look what he talks about. He talks about the sun also rises and the sun goeth down. Now, how many smart enough to say, I know that? Look what he says. He says, and by the way, it goes back to the place it rose. He said, the wind goeth toward the south, down to the south, and turneth about unto the north. It whirleth continually, and the wind returneth again to his circuits. Y'all hear? And all the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea's not full. Somebody ought to. How can you believe in evolution when God made just a wonderful creation? And by the way, it could rain all it wants to, but the sea will never raise. It's never full. Oh, praise Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen anyhow. Now hear me. Are you with me? Then he says, all the rivers run in sea, yea, the sea's not full. And unto the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. And all things are full of labor. A man cannot utter it. The eyes of is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled. Whew. My Lord. See, here's what he's trying to tell us. We're in a cycle. Now I want you to know something. You can either get on the devil's train. How many of you have been on the devil's train and found out the devil's train don't pay much? That's under the sun. You can either get on the devil's train or you're going to get on God's train. I'd just soon be on God's train. I want you to know, I've been saved since I was 21, 22, whatever it is. I'm somewhere in there, 20, somewhere in there. I've been saved, and I'll be honest with you. Somebody told me the other day, said, boy, you've missed a lot of joy, haven't you? Well, I ain't had a hangover since I got saved. I ain't had no heartache to amount to anything. I mean, I got a wonderful family. I got a daughter back there who's my favorite daughter. And I love the grandbaby better than I do her, but that's okay. Hello. What are you saying, preacher? I'm on God's train. I am on God's train. And it's so pleasant. I like it on there. I like what he feeds me. I like how he treats me. I like how he favors me. Woo! Let me go to the second thing real quick. Man. I see a distinct restlessness. Let me ask you something. How many agree with this? How many agree with this? That our society right now is as restless as you ever seen it. How many of y'all agree? How many of you believe right now this society is more restless than you've ever seen? I mean, we're in a mess. It's restless. You know why it's restless? Because most everybody's living under the sun with no direction, with no, their decision making is according to the flesh. Somebody help me. Now notice here. Let's look at this restlessness. The sun is moving. The wind is moving. The rivers work. You know something? Do you know 97% of the water that comes down goes in? And do you know right now, listen to this statistic, only 0.0001 or 1,000th. That's how much rain is in the sky. That it's enough rain to rain for 10 days. Hello? But God's got the cycle. It'll rain, then it'll cause the sun to evaporate, bring the water back up, then it'll come back down. Hello? It is pretty good, ain't it? Hello? See, there's so many people are restless like the wind, chasing stuff. And by the way, I ain't against having things. I like things. But I don't want to live my life just chasing stuff. How restless is that? I'm going to be honest with you. My payday is limited to a certain amount, and I can only spend so much. And I want y'all to know I ain't going to go debt and struggle all the time. I led this church. I'm going to just tell you, I've led this church financially responsible. We don't owe a dime. We're getting ready to build another building in the future, and we're going to pay that off, and then we can go all dime again. You say, why? Because I try to run the church like I run my life, fiscally responsible. I don't want to have all that junk. I don't need all those stuff. I can't pay for all those things. I don't want them. And how happy are you? I told the story here. I'll tell it again. One of the saddest things I've ever seen in my life. But I'm going to tell it. Guy lived in Winfield. I'm looking at him right now. He said, I need to call you and I want to counsel with you. I said, come on, man. You know. I said, what's it about? He said, about my finances. I need some direction. And he come over and he sat down. And he's sincere. And he looked like he'd been run over by 25 trucks. He said, I work myself to death. He said, I work overtime, and I still ain't making it. And he told me, he said, I think he owed like $290,000 on his house. Payment was something like $2,000 a month. I can't even, that boggles me. And then he had two car payments and a boat payment. Then he come to the last one. He said, I owe $120,000 on credit cards. And he looked at me and said, what should I do? And I shouldn't have said this. I said, jump off a bridge. No, I didn't mean it. I thought, well, how in the world can you, what have you done with yourself? I know what he done. He run after stuff. And guess what? When he come to my office, he lost his wife's income because they divorced over the finances. And the man went to the lunatic. He about half crazy. You say, what? Why? Because he was chasing after stuff. I want y'all to know something. I ain't against having anything, but I want y'all to know I'm satisfied with Jesus. Hey, yeah, how many like my coat tonight? You know what that thing cost me? $19. King size, got in the, it's a winter coat, got in the summertime, Marguerite did, from King Size Direct for $19. My goodness gracious, $19 don't look too bad, does it? Hello? Woo! See, here's what they are. There's so many people jumping. They jump from marriage to marriage, church to church. Everywhere, and they jump in, they go to the women of humanism and Christian Science, and dear God. Then I see in verse number 8, notice this, a discontented rigor. Notice what he said in verse 8. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What he's really saying, this world will work you like a dog. You know, how many remember Mrs. Doubtfire? Robin Williams, I liked old Robin. Ended up killing himself. I liked Whitney Houston singing. I liked her. I mean, I know I'm a little carnal, but what is that love song she sang in the one movie? You know it, Chad. You're wicked. What is it? What is it, Chad? I will always love you. Oh, that's it. I knew one of you carnal people remember. I mean, she'd sing that thing. And I'd look over at Margaret, give me a smooth baby. Glory to God, I'll always love you. Yet her and Robin Williams both killed herself. Whitney's daughter killed herself. You know why? Because they did not find fulfillment under the sun. Somebody help me preach. You know what? You better listen to this. You better hear what I'm about ready to say. Because what you have taken you years to get, you could lose in days. Then verse 8, his insatiable longings. See, worldliness will never satisfy you. Listen to this. The more pornography you look at, the more you want. The more alcohol you drink, it's the more you want. The more drugs you do is the more you want. The more stuff you get is the more stuff you want. Am I preaching? But what Satan does is mask everything. Come on, help me. I'll tell you what's killing the body of Christ is that, you hear me, that we're in a pursuit of worldliness. That's the truth. We're children of God. Why do we want to be like the world anyway? I thought we got saved out of it. I've got a nice home. Hey, one of the members came and worked on it one time. Not Barry. Barry does all the work on it. He came and worked on my house. And it's a nice home. It's not elaborate, dear God. It's actually one of the modular, one of the moving homes on a foundation. And this guy came up my house and he put a toilet in. And he said, I'm shocked. I said, what are you shocked about? He said, I thought you'd live in a mansion. I thought you have a $400,000-$600,000 house. I said, well, I said, you got one, I'll take it. But I'll be honest with you, my house is real simple. Y'all been there, Jeff, big old living room. I got my room in off the side. Nobody gets in there but me. It smells like me. It looks like me. I mean, it's me. I mean, it's junked up. It's me. And Margaret ain't allowed there. Julie ain't allowed. I don't even allow Brooke there. It's my little room. I don't live in none of the house. We got 2,040 square feet. I live in about 40. I'm happy as a coon of corn patch. I'm happy. Why? Because that, when it's all over, that really didn't amount to a lot. Am I preaching? I'm trying to. Now listen to me. Now I'm going somewhere, and I might get point three, four, or five, but let me give you this. How many agree everything I've read so far, you'd agree nothing really changes? Now listen. What did we mention so far? What? The sun? Did I mention the sun? Did I mention the wind? Did I mention that? Did I mention the waters? Did I mention that? Did I mention the birds? You know, everything around. Hold me. Nothing really changes unless you have a life-changing, life-altering experience with God. Now hear me. You know what God, you know what he said? You know what Solomon said? Says the sun goes up and the sun goes down. Sun goes up and it goes back. But there's one day that God said in Joshua's day, and the scientists are still confounded by it. The Bible said the sun stood still. What are you saying? God changes everything. I got it. Sun goes up, sun goes down. Sun goes up, sun goes down. But with God, he made it stand still. I say to you, give your life to God. He changes everything. How about the winds? Winds go to the south, up to the north, and they just keep cycling, right? But one day, whew, I feel a little preach. There's somebody called Jesus that went out on the boat, and he stood, and the winds were boisterous. That's what the Bible said. And he said, peace be still. They calmed down to a calm. You said, are you telling me there's a God in heaven can take all my turmoil, take all my heartache and all my burdens and calm my life down? Oh, yes, I'm telling you that. Are we having fun yet? And the waters come down and they go in the sea. But there was one time when the children of Israel was up against the Red Sea. And Pharaoh was coming and the mountain was over there. And you know what God done? This is pretty good. He went like this. His nostrils. He did that. And you know what happened? The water stood up as a heap. And 3 million people walked across on dry ground. I say God can change everything. And when Pharaoh was out to kill him, he buried the whole crowd in the Red Sea. Somebody ought to help me. And you know, we talk about nature. You know, we talk about the raven and birds. You know what God done one time? There's an old preacher guy discouraged. And God sent some ravens in a time of famine and brought him back some T-bone and some shrimp on the barbie and a baked potato loaded and some drawn butter. Whoop! And fed him. You said, well, where did them ravens, if it was a famine, where did they get the food? I know where they got the food. They had GPSs on them. They went to Ahab's house, stole his food, and brought it to the preacher. See, I want you to know, Jesus changes everything. He can supply your needs with an old raven. Let me try to get the last 2 points. I don't know. Look at verse 9 through 11. I'll just give you these. And I've been preaching about 37 minutes, and I'm right with it tonight. Boy, I've been feeling good lately. Is that why I call somebody ready to die? I don't know what it is. I see a dependable repetition. Look what he said. The things that had been is that which we shall be, and the thing which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. I see a maintained cycle. I see a marked certainty. You know when Paul went to preach in Athens? You know where you remember them gathering in Athens? You know what do you remember what it said about the Athenians? They were always up there philosophizing, wanting to hear some new thing. I want you to know something. In Christendom today, I know guys think because they think I'm a hyper-Calvinist, I've got a handle on the sovereignty of God. Hey, knucklehead, no, you don't. You just have so much pride that you think you can know the mind of God. Hey, nobody knows the mind of God. Somebody help me preach. Amen. But see, they're always wanting a new thing. Come on now. Change positions, compromise principles over a new thing. Hey, tonight we're fighting same-sex marriage. By the way, they did in the Bible. And I'm going to say this, online, hear me. I want you to know homosexuality. You hear me. You weren't born with it. You chose to do it. You're a lesbian because you want to be a lesbian, and maybe in your family, they brought you up like that. Hello. Boy, it's quiet in here now. You said, well, they're aborting babies. They didn't do it back in the day. Yes, they did. They put them through the fire. They sacrificed them. And what's this country doing? We're throwing our babies in the fire. You ever study abortion, how they jerk them apart? It's wickedness. Amen. But thank God, God's going to change everything. Poor boy. Here's what we need to do. We need to choose the old path. Tell you what we need to do. We need to go back to the ancient landmarks. Come on now. Woo. Let me give you a last thing, verse 11. I'll be done. I see a drifting remembrance. There's no remembrance of former things. Come on, a famed achievement. You know, there's a lot of people died rich. And a lot of wealthy people gained a lot. And a lot of fame. And you can't remember none of them. But I tell you what. I look back in Christendom. I think of D.L. Moody. His words are still speaking. Think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The Prince of Preachers. Still speaking. What are you saying? One of these days, John Smith's going to die. And you're not going to remember him. Probably not for great wealth and great fame. But you may remember he was the guy that led you to Christ. He was the guy that was your kid's pastor for their whole life. He was the guy that loved you in the midnight hour. He'd come where you were. That's all I want to. By the way, I'll be remembered. You know why I'm going to be remembered? Because, see, I'm doing it for Christ, and that will last. Somebody help me. Not just me, you too. Am I preaching? How many people you know, oh, they gained a lot, but you can't even remember who they are? I mean, what did they do in their life other than they made money? I've given my life, and many of you have. And God's blessed me. This church takes care of me. Man, you were so wonderful to me. But I want you to know something. I've given my life for one thing. I wanted to have joy. Can I define joy to y'all and I'm done? Huh? How would we do it? J, Jesus first. O, others second. And Y, and yourself last. He is, that is least among you shall be greatest. Whew. Thank you for listening. Bow your head with me. Lord, just come. How many of you have found yourself in a rut, living life seemingly without God under the sun, but you know tonight the only real fulfillment is Jesus? How many tonight would say, preacher, I want the Lord to give me that joy back. I want the Lord to help me. Won't you raise your hand and say, pray for me. Online, pray for me. God bless you. Stand with me. You need to pray tonight. You come. I hope a Bible study's helped you. Our Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for Brother Solomon. Even though it was the collapse of his life, we're gleaning something. We're gleaning that we cannot live without you. Because without you, we are nothing. In Jesus' name.